Amen. Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us once again on this Sabbath day. Thank you for being with us last night as well when we gathered on Friday night. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance and everyone on our prayer list. And please bless those that are seeking the truth that haven't quite made the decision yet to accept your Son as Savior. Because it's such a wonderful decision to be made. The grass truly is greener on this side of the fence. And please bless all those that are in need of physical or spiritual healings. And thank you so much for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to welcome some new people down there. We've got Dan 4, Ronald, Rosalie, Sam. Oops, hold on. Okay. We got Dan, Ronald, Rosalie, Sam, Cherie, and Tennille. And welcome. Sabbath blessings to you. Hope and pray you're blessed today.
Yes, I hope and pray everybody is.
Okay. If you're new, as all of those with the smiley faces are, the notes for the Sabbath study are underneath the chat room. You can either click the link on the top of the chat room that says Sabbath study or just scroll. Scroll down a little bit and you'll see the number, studies. And we're on question number 23. And the question is, what has the Lord said about those who can't wait for the Sabbath to be over? In Amos chapter 8, verses 5 and 7 says, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small, and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? The Lord hath sworn, by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. By the way, this is also an answer to the question about buying and selling on Sabbath, now that I think about it, because we had a question last week about that. And right there we can see that it's not right to be, you know, buying and selling on Sabbath. All right. Anyway, but still, many people still do this to this day in regards to, you know, the Sabbath. I mean, looking back, one can imagine the Jewish businessman staring into the sky outside their stores with one hand on a doorknob and the other on the key in the lock, just waiting for the Sabbath to end so they can swing open the doors, start making money again. They literally skirt the Sabbath. And that being said, how many of us do this? We don't rush to close out the Sabbath or even wait till the last possible second to start the Sabbath either. If you're a babe in Christ and you've just come into this truth, and if you've done this in your past, don't worry about it. You didn't know it was wrong to do, and so you won't be judged for it, because the Lord winks at our times of ignorance. But today, you have learned that it is wrong to do so, and I implore you to allow the Sabbath to be a special day. It's just one day out of seven. That's all it is. And when you get a closer relationship with Christ, you'll understand it's a beautiful day. It's especially when you're going through the trials and tribulations of life. Being one that shares your faith, you're going to have some, because the enemy of souls is going to do all he can to stop you. But or just bills and problems and stuff like that. You can forget about all that on the Sabbath. Literally, just forget about it. Put it all on the back burner. It's an excellent day to just forget about. I don't care how difficult your trials are. This is a special day. And he gave it to us. Okay, and it's also the day you cannot wait to start. You know, once you find out this truth, you can't wait to start it, and you wish it would not end so quickly either, especially in winter. I mean, we were just talking about that, Fran and I, earlier about, because I liked working on sermons on Sabbath. And it's not so easy to do in the wintertime because, you know, by the time the church service is over and I'm done gabbing afterwards, it's like 3:15. And then I got to eat, and by the time I get done eating, it'll be 4 o'clock. And the sun goes down at 4:30. And I like the blessings of the day. And the same thing happens on Friday, too. You know, the sun goes down at 4:30. I mean, in the dead of winter, it works its way down to 4:30 because of that ridiculous daylight savings time. It's such a joke. But with the summer, you get a couple extra hours of sunlight. And so, you know, the only strange thing about summer, of course, is, you know, you start the online gathering like we started at 8 o'clock. Eastern time, and Sabbath didn't start, like, say, last night until 9:06 p.m. So for the first hour, we're still on Friday, which means it's absolutely impossible for me to work on the sermons on Friday evening, as I would do in winter. But then still, even with winter, you know, Sabbath starts at 4:30, and then you've got just a few hours before the online church service. So... But it's, I mean, after all, it's so special this day that the God you love, all the angels, and even those that have been blessed with the opportunity to stand in heaven already, you know, like the 24 elders and Enoch, Elijah, Moses, and of course our Lord and Savior, and a multitude of angels, they're all keeping Sabbath in New Jerusalem, and every soul in the universe is keeping it as well. And yes, if you're new to this truth, look up what the Apostle Paul says about the other worlds. And then just, you know, go outside when it's dark. Specifically, if, you know, it's really dark. and hopefully you're outside the city. And look up. Some of those stars you're looking at aren't stars. Some of them are galaxies. Some of them are, you know... Amazing. Well, I wouldn't say galaxies. I don't know if you can actually see them with the naked eye. Or maybe you can. I don't know. I'm not an astronomer or whatever. But even if there were only the stars that we look like, say there were just stars up there, knowing there's planets revolving around them. Mankind is rather arrogant to think that we're the only ones that were created. Even Christians. Some Christians actually don't believe there's people on other planets. And I'm not talking about the little green men. If you delved into the occult before you were a Christian, you know that the little green man is a favored artistic rendition of demonic manifestation. Those are demons. And I could see the Satanists out there and stuff like that laughing every time a parent buys a little green stuffed animal, a little green man for the kids. You know, and the parents don't know there's anything wrong with it, so there's really nothing wrong with it, but it's just, it's amazing how people actually think that little green men live. I mean, come on, this is the creator of the entire universe that we worship, and he's made man in his image. Well, does that mean his image changes from galaxy to galaxy? That makes no sense. Okay, thanks, Peter. Yeah, you could see the Andromeda galaxy with the naked eye. You can also see the Orion Nebula. It's the only nebula that you could see with the naked eye, too. I know that much because we're watching that one. So, but to take part in the Sabbath, which is a heavenly event each and every week, is something mankind is so blessed with. So, it truly baffles the mind of those of us that understand this, when we see how the rest of the world has been taught to look at this day as no big thing. Yet they look at their pagan holidays like Christmas as the most important day of the year. So, important is this day. It is very important. And that some large corporations planned for that day. You know, I'm talking about Christmas, of course. They planned for 364 days in advance each year. I don't know if you got this in some of the small towns out where any of you live, but I know there's a small town called, what is the name of that town? It's in between Danville and Hoopston. My wife probably remembers it. But they have this one poster or this billboard or something painted on the side of one of the buildings. I think they also do this in the Watsika, a town in Illinois, small town. And no, not Rankin, Fran. It was the one that's they had the all those antique shops that burned down in a row. It's a nice little town. It's very well kept. Lexisna Park, very well kept. Anyway, they have this big bank building or something like this, and it's like three stories, which is big for buildings out here. You know, you don't, even in big towns like Lafayette, you don't get anything over 10 stories. And the whole side of the wall was painted with this one advertisement in regards to Christmas all year round. There's this shop that's open 365 days a year, and it's all about Christmas. It's amazing. But for people to keep holy one day a week, it's very difficult for some people. Okay, thanks. That's what it was. Rossville, Illinois, is the name of the town. Cute little town, very small. Not that many people, but they have obvious town pride because it's good looking. The way they, street lights are old fashioned and fancy kind of looking thing. Like Cessna. Cessna Park does the same thing. We used to live near that town. Yeah, good point, Mike. In regards to John Hagee, he declares that he believes heaven is in the Orion Nebula, which it is. New Jerusalem is in the Orion Nebula. As a matter of fact, I remember as a young man reading some doc files, because I used to get into, and I still do. This is why I have computers all over the place. I've always gotten into technology. And in science and creation, because creation has a science. People say, there's biology is a science. It's they're even inventing things like biometrics using instead of RAM cards or RAM sticks in your computer, they come up with some stuff that's actually flesh that holds RAM. But that's neither here nor there. This John Hagee guy, and the Vatican, I believe, also teaches, or knows, or doesn't actually teach it, but knows that the New Jerusalem is in the Orion Nebula. This is why I believe they have a observatory in the Vatican, as well as in Arizona. The one in Arizona is called Lucifer. You can't make this stuff up. I'm serious. It's actually called Lucifer. The only reason I think they have that is because they're zooming in on it and they're watching it. And this is why one of the brethren sent a telescope to me years ago for us to watch it too. I got documentation some time ago and I put it on the site. I didn't mention it in that one series that I did about very near the end on audio, but it is in the text or transcript of that sermon series that we did. And about how there is evidence now that there's a cloud in front of the Orion Nebula that appears to be moving closer to the Earth, just as prophecy said. Because they're saying they could see through it, but, my point is, guys like Hagee and the Vatican, they know these things because they're watching for their god, Lucifer. Even though his name is not Lucifer anymore, his name is Satan. His name was Lucifer when he was in heaven. And now he's fallen. But They're trying to get everything, all their ducks in a row before Jesus gets here. And so they're watching. And they're going to take advantage of the fact that they know these things. It's just like certain statements and doctrines that we believe and we teach. Some of the false teachers in the world will borrow from them to make them appear more knowledgeable in the scriptures. Because they know for a fact, unless you do an in-depth study, the overwhelming majority of their congregation is not, like for example, Michael the Archangel. The majority of their congregation doesn't know how to study scripture because they don't teach them how to study scripture. And so, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, teach that Michael the Archangel is in fact Jesus. And the way the devil likes to twist around the words and stuff like that and change things, like in, you know, calling him the chiefest or the first, is actually, you know, in regards to Jesus being the archangel. It's not one of those studies that you can just show one Bible verse for. You got to show an intense study, Old and New Testament theology, and then you'll have no doubt. That's why I put the Bible study on the website about Michael. And so many people have a hard time. But my favorite comeback on the street, more or less, is, okay, you believe Jesus Christ came as a man to introduce God to the humans, right? And he goes, oh, yeah, not a problem. Well, did he not create angels? And they go, yeah, of course he did. Well, wouldn't he introduce himself as an angel to the angels, to introduce God to them? But that's not the main theology behind it, but that's one that gets their eyes open and their eyebrows to jump up a little bit. He says, well, then look into it. Look into the study, and you'll see. I mean, for some reason, you have no problem believing that God can become a man, but you can't believe that God can become an angel. So don't put your God in a box. If you do, then you're going to limit how your prayers are going to get answered. So, but, yeah, so these guys will take advantage of some of these things in regards to, like, the Orion Nebula and whatnot. Because Hagee, he's clamoring for ways to make himself look intelligent on the pulpit because the man's an overwhelmingly proven false prophet. I mean, he could put $10,000 worth of graphics behind him and declare the 7-year trib and the secret rapture all he wants. He can have money dripping from his body. It's still not going to make it true. And so, yeah. Now, let's see if we can do another question here. Question number 24. And it is, what will we do in the Lord's Day? In Psalm 118, verse 24, says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, think about that in regards to what we just discussed about people skirting the Sabbath. They're not rejoicing and they're not glad in it. They can't wait for the sun to set when it's ending. And they're dragging their feet. They don't want it to rise either when it's starting. Or setting when it's starting rather than rising when it's ending. Well, never mind. It can get confusing, but it's Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. So what are some things on Sabbath day that can make it more of a joy so as to be glad in it? I mean, after all, we already know that Isaiah 58:13 says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, you know, like video games, playing cards, watching TV. You shouldn't watch that any day of the week, actually. You know, things that you like to do, hobbies, stuff like that on Sabbath day. Doing thine own pleasure on my holy day. He says, don't do that. And then he goes on to say that, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And a good example of that is gossip. Don't be calling, people that you know that's just going to go back and forth with gossip. Or don't call people that you know that aren't Christians, like when my dad was alive. I mean, he's, to the best of his ability, he was understanding what he could understand. And so I know my Father in heaven's going to wink at his times of ignorance like he winks at mine. So I really don't know where my dad's heart was at. I know I saw a change in him before he died, and I praise God for that change. But being from the old kind of country way of living, city life, there are certain things he'd like to talk about when I would call him that I just didn't want to talk about on Sabbath day. And or some old friends, like I got an old friend that I haven't, there's only one friend that I know of out of my old life that still calls me and I call him once in a while. He has converted to Christianity, but it's Sunday keeping. And so on Sabbath day, I won't talk to him either because it's going to veer off into some stuff. But doing thine own pleasure, I mean, this covers a myriad of points. And, you know, like I said, the video games or board games for that matter, radio, TV, whatever, reading magazines, tabloids. I mean, you shouldn't read a tabloid any day of the week, you know. But it's gabbing away on the phone, like, it's fun to do. Yeah, I used to do it. I mean, I still do it. I don't, you know, like when I call brothers and sisters in the faith, we talk on the phone. I like doing that. It's a lot easier than email. And I will do that with my brothers and sisters in the faith on Sabbath day if the topic stays heavenly. But I'm not going to call them and ask them, you know, hey, you know, how do you do this or how do you do, like, fix a car or do this or do, you know what I mean. So if the soul you're talking to is a non-believer, you may harm them spiritually. When we refuse to talk with friends on Sabbath about such things, that act alone can be a witness for good to them. I mean, eventually they may come around, especially living in the last days as we are, when it's going to be put on the table of everybody on this planet to make a decision in regards to Sunday or Saturday. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? One day they may come to know Jesus Christ as we do, and you would have been used by God to help them, you know, understand a little bit more truth, and then you gain a soul for heaven by making them think about him when you refuse to gab on the phone during Sabbath. You know? So for you young people, this can be your own special way to share Jesus with your friends or your cousins or anyone else for that matter that you approach on Sabbath. And it's as easy as saying, I'll get back to you after Sabbath. It's just that easy. And don't think for a minute that it's embarrassing to do that. All right? Because let me just look up a Bible verse here for you, because a lot of people have an issue in here when it comes to doing this. For example, let's say you're a teenager and you're hanging around with your buds, you know, and they want to do something and you don't want to do it. And actually, odds are if you're a really strong Christian, you're growing in the Lord, odds are you're not hanging with them anymore anyway. Because that's something I noticed and many of you have noticed once you found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your friends seem to disappear. They don't want to be around you. And you don't want to be around them either because of the way they are. But there's times you have to be, especially if they're family members or, you know, fellow students or coworkers. And so for you not to step up and say it's, you know, I can't do that because, you know, it's the Sabbath and stuff like that. Is it because you're embarrassed? Mark 8:38. It says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. It may be uncomfortable, like especially if you're new to the faith, the first time you step up and do the right thing or stand up for Jesus kind of a thing, but it gets easy. It gets real easy. So, what are some good things that we can do on Sabbath? Well, on my website, many people know I got a page on there called Keeping Sabbath Holy. And on that page is a list of ideas that never seems to stop growing. And I'm sure some new ones will be popping in the text chat here in a minute. For example, you can read the web pages of like-minded brethren. And when I say like-minded brethren, I'm talking about your brothers and sisters here in the Seventh-day Remnant Church. Going to a Seventh-day Adventist website is dangerous. This is why you're here. You already know that you have come out of her. And no, I'm not calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church the Whore of Babylon, as so many false teachers and preachers out there proclaim I do. My website's got overwhelming evidence to support I call the Vatican the Whore of Babylon. I've even got videos and audios and radio broadcasts, and it's just amazing how much information can prove they're bold-faced liars when they say that I'm calling the SDA Church the Whore of Babylon. However, I am calling the SDA Church a sister to fallen Babylon, just like I call the Lutheran Church that, or the Methodist Church, or the Baptists. They're all following Rome. So you don't want to be going to their websites any day of the week, especially on Sabbath. Or you can watch some of your brothers and sisters here have videos on YouTube or other areas on the internet. You can listen to some of the old church sermons that we have. There's a page on the main website as well as on the SeventhDayRemnantChurch.org website. It has videos there too, as well as old audios and old sermons or old newsletters. SDRHerald.org, you can go there. Or you can join your brethren in here online, as many people do, especially around 4 or 5 o'clock. Well, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern, Brother Chase and some of the other brothers in the faith here get on the mic and share their faith and, well, do the study. And at the same time, their experiences are being shared, too. So you can join here. Or you can go for nature walks. That's something I'd love to do. 7 days a week, but it's especially nice on Sabbath. As a matter of fact, just a little while ago, I was out there feeding my squirrel. Went for a little walk in the, which reminds me, I got to get the lawnmower out there for inside the forest. Can't get the big one out there, but the little push one I can get out there, and I want to make some paths because spring is definitely in the air. It's crowded back there, but the animals love it like that. And they need their little hiding places because of the hawks and the coyotes. And so, but yeah, taking nature walks or... You could do children's Sabbath school in your home if you get children. You could literally, part of the Sabbath school for your children, you can bring them out into the woods and study nature. I mean, you're going to be doing that in heaven anyway when you get there. So may as well get a little bit of a jump start on that. You can type up Bible studies and you could email them or snail mail them to loved ones or just like some of the brethren here do. How sometimes the phone company, and we just got one. As a matter of fact, we got two. The phone company still sends out phone books for some strange reason. People still advertise in them, so I guess they still work to some extent. But you can just go in there and scratch out a person's name. But before you scratch out that person's name, you can send them a Bible study or a tract. You know, 2 or 3 of those a week, or 200 or 300 a week. It depends on how into it you would want to be. If you got children again, you can have coloring books that are faith-based for the children, And I would only do that on Sabbath day. Make that day special, a special activity on Sabbath day that's fun, especially for little kids. I mean, make the day special. Where they look for, even our dogs, we give them special treats on Sabbath day, a little bit more than they normally would get. They know this day's here. You can go visit the sick on Sabbath day. You can leave tracks at park tables, like when you're out there in nature walk, you can leave tracks at park tables or in the outhouses or in the parking lots. And, I wouldn't go into the stores on Sabbath day because then you're condoning, like a park, you don't have to pay to get in. You can sing or listen to songs of praise. And that's why if you notice, sometimes, and lately I've been doing this a lot on Sabbath day, about an hour or two before we start the Friday night church service, I turn on scripture songs on WTPR. Because I love listening to that stuff. And I just have it playing really low in the background where it's just, it just makes my office sound so nice. Although, if everybody that lives here with me decides to take the day and go someplace, sometimes I crank it. I'll put it on Fran's computer and I'll just crank it and, you can hear it through the whole house. And but I won't put it full blast. I'm just enough to where you can hear it. Just listening to scripture songs. You can visit the elderly as well as the sick. You can read Spirit of Prophecy for those of you who know what I'm talking about there. You can read the family Bible chapters. And have the kids take turns too, It kicks up their reading skills because the teacher's going to ask them to read in school too. You can go to a pond and feed the ducks or just feed the fish. If you keep doing it on a regular basis, those fish will get used to you. I mean, case in point, I've got fish in our little cow trough. And the only reason we have fish in there is because when we bought the house, it had that trough out there. And rather than have a mosquito factory, we put goldfish in it. And these guys haven't gotten used to me yet because they're fairly young. But the old guy that died, you know, because the thing freezes up every winter, he actually got everybody to follow his lead. Well, now he's sleeping. But I would come out there and I would tap the food can on the edge of the concrete and I would say, okay, guys, come and get it. And they would all come to where I'm at, expecting food, knowing that I was going to give them some goodies. Well, you do that in a pond, eventually they'll get used to your voice. It's neat to watch, I tell you. You can go witnessing door to door, or you can just read the Bible, of course, that you should be doing regardless every single solitary day. But on Sabbath, it's extra blessing, you know, blessed to do so. You can make 3x5 index cards of Scripture and just memorize them. You can make them on Sabbath day and use them all week. And then on the next Sabbath day, you can make new cards or change the showbread. That's why I say changing the showbread sometimes in the prayer, because the changing of the showbread on Sabbath day was symbolic of a new sermon, a new study, a new understanding, a new truth, a new light. Or you can just play Bible games with the kids, too. So there's a lot of neat things that you can do on Sabbath day, and I'm sure some, I could see some in the in the text chat here. I never thought about that. Yeah, you can go into a subway station because you don't have to pay to get in, right? You only have to pay to get on the train. So, but then again, I don't know. That can get a little crazy in there. So, but anyway, hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.